8 o'clock hour here on DFW Sports Station. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Bell back home. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. What would a Micah Parsons trade look like? I don't think anyone right now feels like the Cowboys would trade him. Jerry telling the media, no, it's not something that we are thinking about right now, but let's have a little bit of fun. And where would you all stand on it? I said Friday at the end of Crosstalk, maybe Micah does them a favor. Maybe Micah stops them from committing and allocating top of the market money to three different positions and lacking depth on your football team. Maybe Micah's request prevents a Diggs 2.0 situation of changing after you get your money the way some people felt Trayvon has changed, even though someone high up in the Cowboys told me we're not worried about Micah changing after he gets paid, and we're not worried
get better.
And we're not worried about his relationship with Diggs either. But maybe Micah could be doing them a favor. And it is interesting with the phone calls and text messages that we have gotten this morning. This is not a Luka Doncic type reaction. It's not. More on that at 8:40 in Below the Belt, but you'd be open to it. You're always looking at asset management.
Well, look, I mean, the $40 million and what you get in compensation, I mean, that theoretically, I'm going to assume it's two number one picks, maybe more.
Everyone right now is referencing the Khalil Mack deal as the baseline.
Barnwell did a Trade Tiers article last week. He said, and this is before the request came in, he said Micah would be two ones plus.
Yeah.
I mean, plus what?
Plus just two ones plus whatever minutia needs to go into that. Yeah, but it's baseline two ones and then whatever happens to make it done.
He's a year younger than Mack was at the time. So, look, and then you take the $40 million. That's six starters. Your first round pick is a starter. Otherwise, it's a massive failure of a pick.
Right.
And then with the $40 million, you can get four starters out of that. They may not be top end.
Well, they wouldn't be top end.
But they'd be depth. Like, you'd be getting solid football players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a complete game changer for an organization.
And he has referenced, if the players are good, it's a game changer if the two draft picks combined can equal a Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I would say some of the guys who are making $10 million annually right now for the Cowboys, or roughly around there, are going to be Donovan Wilson, Malik Hooker. Right now, his cap number being this low, Osa's around there. Fowler, like, those are the kind of guys you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, if you add four of those guys, four more to this roster, you have no holes.
Plus four or two guys who would be high draft picks who are making rookie contract money,
right,
is the thought. NFL.com did look at the potential landing spots, though. Like, okay, we don't think Mike is going anywhere, but if it does happen, which teams could pursue the Cowboys star? And these are some of the teams that Eric Edholm wrote about over at NFL.com. Buffalo was one. Strictly from a who needs him most standpoint, there's a strong case for the Bills to do everything in their power to at least make Dallas an offer. By the way, as we talk about making these trades, I think it was Barnwell this week, like over the weekend, who referenced this. It was somebody on Twitter had said that when Mike is on the field since he entered the NFL, the Cowboys have the number one defense in the NFL. When he is off the field, it is second to last in the NFL.
Wow.
Now, that's also a big chunk of it was last year with, like, you talk about years with Dan Quinn there and how effective they were. Buffalo is number one. Carolina is number two, a team that Dallas has made a couple trades with. They mentioned Chicago, who's got their own resources that they can make moves for. Cleveland was another one, which doesn't make a ton of sense to me to go Cleveland if you've already got Myles Garrett, who you've invested a bunch of money to. Are you going to spend $80 million on edge rushers? They mentioned the Raiders. Here are the two. The last two that he has here are the ones that I think make a ton of sense. And then there's a third that I think makes a lot of sense. Tampa Bay. He said, if all goes well, the Buccaneers offense could be a monster this season. It was pretty darn good a year ago, but defensively, there's work to be done if Tampa fancies itself a Super Bowl contender. Adding Parsons is the kind of move that could put a team like the Bucs over the top. They added Hassan Reddick, but obviously you never know when he's going to participate or what he's going to do. They do have some salary cap flexibility to take on a big contract, and they've made big swings at players before with Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski. George Edwards is the passing game coordinator there. That is Micah Parsons' biggest mentor. And during his NFL career, that was somebody he was really upset left Dallas. So you talk about being able to pair him in Tampa with George Edwards again, a team that feels like they're going for it, a defensive-minded head coach in Todd Bowles. That all makes a lot of sense to me. This makes a lot of sense from a perspective of who would want him and where would he want to go? Washington. I don't know that Jerry's going to make the move in the division like that. But obviously, Dan Quinn, the
connection
there.
There's a division tax.
There is.
Three first-round picks.
There's a...
division tariff.
He is, right. Exactly. Yeah, it's Washington, right? This is something where Dan Quinn would love to have him back, I'm sure. And Micah would be happy to play with Dan Quinn again. That one makes a ton of sense. The only problem, like we say, is just it's in the division and being able to charge that. The team he doesn't mention here, and the team that I think makes a lot of sense, is Seattle. Because you're talking about two front offices that have a lot of experience with each other. Some of it not great. Some of it has been petty in years past with Earl Thomas. And then the following year or 2 years later when they were talking about trading Alden Smith, and Seattle came to him and they were like, oh, you remember how last year was a two for everybody and a one for us? Well, Alden Smith is a sixth for everybody and it's a fifth for you.
Yeah.
And so there's been a little bit of sniping there. But John Schneider, Stephen Jones, like they've worked out a lot of different things themselves. Seattle does have Adam Dirty as their defensive coordinator. That is somebody that, again, Micah had a lot of experience with, liked a great deal. That would make a lot of sense to me, pairing Micah there if you were going to work it. If you're going to make a trade, I think Tampa, Washington, Seattle, in terms of Micah potentially pushing it a certain way, those three all make sense.
Our guy Softy texted me over the weekend from Seattle. Greatest show name ever, Softy and Dick. Mm-hmm. Their show name.
Yep. I thought it was Softy and Maller.
That's his last name. That's his last name. Dick Fane is the other guy that he has a show with.
Okay.
Vane, you said?
Fane.
Oh, Fane.
Not, jeez, Bobby. He's like, his first name, what is Micah asking for? That was he was just like, they're already all in.
And you said, we don't know. We don't know because they won't say. Like Sean's been saying, he could be asking for 50. We don't know because, A, they're not answering the phone.
When Jerry said, I reached, and he stressed that multiple times, what does that mean? What you guys don't know is how much I reached.
I'm guessing whatever. When he references guaranteed almost $200 million, I'm guessing, again, this is just a guess, I have not heard anything, that he had said five for 225, and basically the first 4 years were guaranteed, which would be $45 million a year.
And they would say no to that?
Not necessarily no to it, but I mean, again, it's what does that
we
mean?
We did hear that his side wants four.
How many times have we heard the Cowboys say something that
and
then...
Jane would say, Jane Slater, I think she chimed in on Twitter and said, was it in writing? Did you put it actually in writing, Cowboys?
Right. Yeah, and the other thing here is there's so many different... It's $180 million total guaranteed. All right, but guaranteed at signing, it's just the first year and a half. And then, the second year, then this triggers and this does the... So whenever anybody... I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. There's a little bit of confusion for people when they hear... And I don't want to get too much of the minutia, but when they hear total guaranteed versus guaranteed at signing. Guaranteed at signing literally just means this is what you are guaranteed to get today when you put your pen to paper. Total guaranteed, the number that usually gets referenced in the media, is... You are guaranteed this money if you're on our roster after your second season on the fifth day of the league year. Like when you hear all those triggers of, ooh, if they release this guy by this date, they don't owe him money. It's because they put in these triggers in the contract that say, now your money becomes guaranteed. So they may have just not been comfortable with some of those triggers that were in there.
DraftKings came out with their odds immediately when Micah made the request. His next team, the Cowboys, are minus 300. The Eagles are plus 1,000.
Yeah
right. The Patriots are plus 1,000.
Man, if he trades him to Philadelphia, we know he's lost his mind.
Nico
did lose his mind.
He gave Luka to the Lakers.
Nico did lose his mind.
Chargers plus 1,500. Arizona, San Fran, Rams, Carolina, Jets, Raiders. And then sportsbetting.ag sent me their odds. The favorite would be the Raiders if he got dealt. Raiders 5-1, Pittsburgh, Chargers, Jets, Colts.
I think in Jerry's career...
All AFC.
I think in Jerry's career, his time here in Dallas, I think the team that he has done the most trades with, I'll need to look it up, I think the team he's done the most trades with is the Raiders.
What's your point?
So, that makes sense, too. It's a family-run team that's been around for a long time. If they wanted him, if they wanted to say, all right, yeah, let's throw Max Crosby and Micah Parsons at everybody... They could go that route, but I mean the Raiders would make sense just in terms of how the Cowboys have found a willing business partner before, somebody who they like to do deals with, and The Raiders are a team that would definitely, I think, do a splashy. They've shown a willingness to go get a Devontae Adams or a Randy Moss in the past and really go aggressively after people.
Florio writes, ProFootballTalk.com, the obvious candidates are the Bills and the Ravens. Both want to get past the Chiefs. The Broncos become an interesting option, too. Ownership has the money to make it happen, and getting Parsons would thrust Denver into the upper echelon of the AFC. Man, imagine losing DeMarcus Ware to Denver for a title, and then it happened again with Micah Parsons. Let's see. He threw out the Lions. They still have to pay Aiden Hutchinson. So those are some of the teams from Florio.
What? I just...
And, what and Slater also said, the Cowboys internally had whispered the idea of trading Micah two seasons ago. I was told Jerry was absolutely against it. Why? Micah would rub teammates the wrong way with the podcast comments at times, saying he was a leader, then not showing it. And as one coach told me, quote, nearly every player was in my office telling us we needed to do something about him. Jane concludes, I do think Mike had turned some of that around in recent months. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that was... People were not a fan of him talking to Jordan Love on the podcast right around... Like, when they had lost to Green Bay, there was not a lot of... It was a little bit like, what are you doing? And the week leading up to it, why are you gassing up Jordan Love and how great he is? The reason he's gassing him up, Jordan Love, how great he is, by the way, is because that's his agent... teammate. Like, Mulugeta represents Love. They all know each other. They all hang out with each other. David Mulugeta creates this very like family-like feel with his clients that they go over, they have dinners, they get to know each other. So that's going to be his guy. He's not going to just, he's going to like give him props and talk about, but I know that week leading up to that game when he's talking about how great Jordan Love is, that didn't sit well with everybody. It's a little bit like you don't need to be talking about how awesome he is on your podcast.
What would the offer have to be for you to me in life in these situations? You got to like in order to buy my house right now today after being there for a year and going through all the hassle of the fixes and the drama, you got to blow me away to where like I instantly say yes. That's the way I feel about this. Like two firsts, a second, and a third. Like, two first and a third to me, I'm like, okay, that's not making me instantly say yes. You have to blow me away.
And who is it? Like, if Kansas City tells me they're giving two first, okay, so you're giving me 2 seconds. What else are you giving
Buffalo's
me?
The same way.
But right. Yeah, I mean, honestly. Yeah.
So back end of the round, you're saying.
I need to know.
There's three.
And look, I'll take a, the Cowboys, no doubt, would take first rounders from anybody. A, because it's capital, you want it. B, the difference is you do get the fifth year option, so you can lock somebody into a price, even if they blow up. You can lock somebody in longer term, mm-hmm. like you want. But yeah, I mean, if you're calling me and telling me you're going to give me two firsts and a third, I'm at least, I got to stop and I got to think.
Yeah, and like if it's like you said, if it's an NFC East team, you know that stops at least at the 2-1s. I mean, you're gonna have to pay the tariff tax. If it's a Kansas City or a Buffalo or Baltimore, it's always picking the back of the round. Then you got to add to that. But if it's like a team like New England, Pittsburgh, you could be in the teens.
Let me ask the most basic, I would hope, elementary question. And I hope you're going to give me the quick answer I want. Are they going to pick up the phone and listen?
Are they going to, from other teams or from Micah?
Other teams.
Yeah, they'll listen.
Yes. They'll answer.
Okay.
I don't know. They may very quickly shut it down, but they'll.
That's
they'll,
fine.
Yeah, they'll answer.
Just please let me know, just from a business operational standpoint, common sense, that you would pick it up and listen. It's a new Music Monday, and who are the winners and losers from the radio station in Oxnard? From our training camp coverage, that's next on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
I'm Casey Kasem. Coming up next are the three biggest hits of the year.
All right, it is a new Music Monday, and man, I was just, I got cornered at training camp by one Chris Beam from the Cowboys. He goes, man, stop right there. And he starts pulling out his phone, he's pulling up Spotify, and he's like, you guys have been talking about Song of the Summer. He's like, I've already got the Song of the Summer. He's like, you need to play it. I was like, all right, what is it? He's like, it's Scotty McCreery.
Because we don't have one yet.
No, we don't. Not really. Scotty McCreery and Hootie and the Blowfish. And he's like, I've been playing this out at the pool. Every
literally
day.
Hootie or Darius?
No, Darius and Hootie went into the studio, and it's going to sound a little familiar. Darius and Hootie went back into the studio, and they recorded a little bit of a classic for the chorus on this song, Bottle Rockets, which Beamer's all about. Moonlight.
when she'd make me break out of my guitar and play. Oh, my
head. Look.
Oh, I see.
Dude.
I see what happened there.
It's cool they went back in the studio. I like that.
It's cool. It cannot be the song of the summer. By the way, it's August 4th. We may have passed that point.
Summer's over.
A song of the summer.
Kids go to school next week. Summer's over.
The song of the summer has been a late August contribution before.
Okay. We may need the history on that. But I've heard that. I love Darius Rucker. Love Darius Rucker. But that doesn't have number one seed potential, in my opinion. I like it. It can't be song of the summer.
Maybe one of these three does. This is a wide mix this week. First one here, the person who took over music, it felt like last year, Chapel Roan. She has a new song out, The Subway. Somebody wore your perfume, it almost killed me. I had to leave the room, it's just another day. It's not all right to let someone. It's good.
That's good.
It's very Cranberries-like. Like, do you have to? It's a little linger.
Yeah, action.
Yeah, it's okay. This is the next song out this week. We got Laney, which stands for LANY, because they're two guys from Los Angeles.
Hard like a truck.
No, not that one. This is Laney. Know You Naked. I'm the one that gets to know you naked. I hope it's okay for me to say it.
All right,
I like it a lot.
It's good. Sounds like Justin Bieber a little bit.
It's a little different. I like the production work on it. I think that's really solid. And then this is a massive throwback. This sounds like it was released in 1995, like all of this guy's music does. Do you know Zach Top?
Yes,
RJ Chop.
I do know Zach Top.
Zach Top is a
not
very
personally.
But he is a very classic. Like, I'm gonna commit to the '90s sound. That's what I do. Tell me, this sounds like it was released on Friday from Zach Top, South of Sanity. Somewhere outside of Missouri. Just called my name from the stage. When we hung up, she was talking, leaving. Now how am I supposed to sing and play? It's good. I like it. It's very much a sound, though. You're going for something there. Without those, like, whining steel guitar.
He's got that. Like, there is like a Randy Travis element to him.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think Zach's pretty good.
I do too. I that's not my favorite of his that he's done. It's good. I love the Laney song. But yeah, that one's, it's good, but okay. It's very much you're trying to fit into a niche of people who want the more nostalgic country and are tired of the bro country.
It's a good edition of New Music Monday here on Sean and RJ Choppy with Rangers Diamond Cavs at 9 o'clock. Why aren't we reacting to the Micah news like we did Luca? That's coming up 8:40 in Below the Belt. Nick Eatman from Oxnard at 9:20 on the home of America's team and our training camp coverage.
Yeah, and I went through, I took a look, and I look, only to be fair, I'm going to have to turn it over to you guys for my grade. I can't grade myself. But I went through and I took a look at everybody that we went to training camp with. And I was like, you know what? We should all get performance grades here. So okay. I went down the list. I did not include Kansi. I was not out there with them. So I can't know how they did. Because a lot of it is, how do you operate off the air?
Well, they stole our guest. So minus.
I'm going to start off here with Sean. Sean's grade first. Sean, you're getting an
What's
8.
What's the scale?
Out of 10. You're getting an 8. That's a solid grade.
I'll take it.
You're getting an 8. Club Sharif was a big hit. You coordinated the dinner. You took the bill. That was all great. You missed the Jerry party. You missed the Jerry party.
You hated.
Yeah, I did hate it.
So you're knocking me for something you agreed with.
I gotta say.
Right.
The one that you should not have missed was this one. This was the best one in a while.
Really?
Didn't sound like it.
Yeah, because it was less crowded. Right?
But I heard there's the least amount of sitting room.
Yes, there was that.
Well, there were seats. Bobby doesn't have anything to compare it to.
Okay.
There were seats. There was no doubt there were seats. But, I wasn't looking to sit. I was mingling. I was standing. And, there was a scrum. There was a scrum. And we were front and center in the scrum.
Yeah, this is from the Jerry party. Zach texted this over the weekend. I forgot about this. This was my photo promising Choppy I would show up on time tomorrow morning. I was like, look, here, we'll take this photo to remember it.
You look hammered.
I was blitzed at this moment.
The scrum you would have liked. You would have loved it. That would have been, without question, the best.
Oh, you would have been coordinating the scrum.
You mean with Jerry and Steven? Yes.
You would have been out there. You would have been.
My position there. I had position A.
I heard you were face to face.
Face to face.
And I was shocked. You usually hate that stuff.
I don't like it. I got caught.
Oh,
I didn't want to be there.
You looked very comfortable standing right there.
I was comfortable because I could talk. I'm a good talk. I talk to people well.
More than I deserve that. RJ's great. I'm also going to give RJ an 8.
I never got that in school.
No, here's the thing. I went 7. I was going to go 7 initially. Then we rode in the car with him. And I was like, man, your performance is impressive given everything else that I feel like goes on. And so I'm giving you a point boost for.
But what are you docking him for?
I'm not docking him for anything. It's just
it's not a nine.
No, you got a Club Sharif. You got a Club Sharif that boosted you. Choppy was late to the car a couple times.
I was first every day.
No, that's not true. There was one time we were waiting for
you. He's talking about like when we would go to practice.
The practice one.
You were getting coffee.
I came from the other side to get coffee.
The practice one. I needed the car one day. He was at the gym. I didn't like that. He lost a half a point there. But I did see that, man.
That's too low.
RJ Choppy is, to me,
he drives us around everywhere.
Everywhere.
He went and got the coffee on his own.
Well, you're gonna find the 8 is one of the higher scores that anybody got.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it's like a Portnoy pizza score.
I'm giving you the boost because like you're having to like pull over on the highway in California to make haircutting appointments.
Oh my god.
You are like, I had no idea how much you were just the mediator of everything that's in your world, and I respect it.
I gave Choppy a massage on the way back to LAX because of the phone calls he was dealing with.
We're gonna move to G-Bag. Gavin Dawson. Gavin's gonna get a 7. Because this, like listen to me. This is part on-air performance. The fact that he stood in and didn't blink on questions that I would have like vomited, having to go like, hey, I just think you're all about clicks. You're a big clickbait negotiator. That's where he gets like almost all of his points. It was from that. He does get docked for the, I saw him one time outside of like on the air, and it was when he checked in, and then after that, I didn't see him otherwise. Like he was more anonymous on this trip than he has been on anyone that we've done.
He can get 5 points max for the Steven interview, and nothing after that.
I'll give you a 5-point score. A 5-point score is Brian Bryce.
Well, Dawson gets docked, and he wasn't even there at the end of his show.
Brian,
is that why Zach did their tease for today?
Unless he's out, maybe he's out this week. I don't know.
Must have been. I have no idea why Zach was.
And showed up a day late.
Brian gets a 5. This was a disappointing camp for Brian.
You guys had beef.
We did not get the normal Brian sit-in that like, one day this week, I'll come sit in with you guys. I didn't get that. Didn't even get the offer for it. Okay? I felt like...
He did ask me once, you okay, need anything? I took that as an offer.
That could have just meant like, do you need food?
He sat in with us 2 weeks ago, though. He did 2 shows.
Right. But this is about our Oxnard experience.
Okay.
And I felt like he was so taken up with his... He didn't like when we were rolling in that morning. You're like, hey, B. And you called him a B. And then we rolled in and he just kind of like mean mug stared at you. He felt a little less humor. Like he felt humorless this trip.
It's a bad running joke.
Doing 14 jobs.
He skipped a lot of our outings. He skipped a lot of our going out, and he's usually right there in the middle of it. The excuse for not going to Fiore was
lame. Weak. I can't put it on my credit card.
You
want to pay for everyone's dinners all the time and try to shame the rest of us, but then when it's time to put it on there and maybe eat some of the costs, you stay home.
Eric and Zach both got a 7 initially. Eric got the 7.5 because he did show up with us and he went on pretty much all the shows. They get a 7 because they did recognize Savone Ravel's dad and they got breaking news out of that. That was a big one. And that they were active and involved in pretty much everything else that we did.
Your grading is like grossly low. You have horrific. This is a horrible scale.
I have a high standard.
It's an awful, awful scale.
I have a high standard. I have a high standard. Carter got a 6.
Carter.
Oh, okay. Is that what would Spittle call
Carter,
that?
Carter would have gotten
is that C plus? C minus?
Carter would have gotten a 9. Carter would have gotten a 9. He got 3 points docked for not having the YouTube video ready for Aiden that day. Where we're just like we're throwing up us just like
Jake Ferguson, was it?
Yeah. Ferg. And we're just like picking our noses on the fan cam, basically. And I'm just like, I don't think the interview's up there.
Yeah.
And it's and then just the explanation for why it wasn't up there was a little cloudy. That got some points docked. I'm giving Ruben the highest score. Ruben gets 8.5 because he found my favorite eating spot that week at Black Bear Diner. That was good. He's always down to go wherever. He'll do whatever. He'll go out to the Jerry party. He'll go out to whatever dinners we do. So he's just a willing and ready teammate. Tim Collins.
Hey!
Is getting a 7. a strong seven. The problem is he left in the middle of it. He had to go to his reunion. He had to go back home to Centerville or wherever
Centerville.
That was. But the hotel was good. We had a good hotel.
Yep.
Got a little bit of the marina smell, but that's just going to be the marina. But otherwise,
the marina smell, I have no problem with the marina.
This would have been a 9 for Tim had he just stayed the whole week. He gets docked because he had to leave. And then DJ's going to get a 6 on this one. Is that I thought DJ was good overall, but DJ when he came in,
was DJ there for like 2 days?
We had our CD interview. Well, no, he was there before we got there, and then he was on the back end when we had the CD interview. And we're like, hey, come on, we got to do this. It was just a little too sassy for what was a massive interview that we were trying to get
They've
done.
Always had board up beef.
Yeah, they have. They have. Bobby tries to.
It's a battle of egos.
Yeah, Bobby tries to mansplain to DJ, and DJ's like, yeah, awful. Dude, I'm older than you.
Awful. And then I got a 10.
Awful grading.
You got a 10, of
course. Horrific scale.
Yeah.
Eric Ciafalo gets the highest grade of a 9.5 because he showed up and put in 2 hours with us. Him and Zach were down for every single outing and dinner. So is Choppy.
As people say, from Don, this is the homeschool grading system.
I know. That's ridiculous.
Kissing up statistically, the doc. I'm smarter, guys. I don't know what you want me to say.
The only doc for Eric is he got butthurt over the Rowdy Tellez interview. Yeah, I was making fun of that. That was the first night, but we got over it. But Ciafalo gets a high score, and Choppy is always there for anything as well.
I'm sure I'm getting a cut. I just see my phone screen light up. Let's see what it is.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Zach?
Okay. It's not related to that.
Okay. 877-881-1053 for the Oxnard grades from Bobby Roberto Belt. Why aren't we treating this Micah trade like the Luka one? Below the belt is next. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Is this the Dallas Cowboys Nico Harrison moment? Only just done the right way. Let's talk about it here in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Yes, we're retiring until next training camp or until I feel like trolling Sean, the ball knowers of the round table.
Oh, yes, the ball.
I mean, it was a great 2-day segment.
Bobby knows ball. Yeah. He knows ball.
Ciafalo just couldn't stop singing
it. Ball with the ball on.
It's great. Yeah, you know what? Forget his 9.5. Take him down to a 9.2.
All right, so this is something that I feel like has been bubbling a little bit on the fan text this morning, and we've seen a little bit of it on Twitter and different things like that too. And you had mentioned it earlier, the fact that this doesn't feel the way these are going sideways and the potential for trading Micah Parsons, if it happens. It does not feel anywhere close to the Luka Doncic moment.
And let's get the Luka news just out of the way. He signed a 3-year, $165 million extension with the Lakers, player option for year 3. I know a lot of people had held out hope, like he'll leave there, maybe we can get rid of Nico and he'll come
Fortune
back.
The ball.
Luka's not going to like Los Angeles. He's not going to like the spotlight. He's not going to like LeBron. Well, Luka signs up for 3 years to set himself up to one day possibly make $1 million per game.
80 million? And this is the thing. Like, you know, this is why Micah wants the 4 years, not the 5 years. It's why all these athletes want this. You know, Luka could have gone with a longer deal, and he chose to maybe become a free agent after the 26-7 season. Like, sign him up, man. Like, that's what you want if you're the player.
Yeah.
In that way, because but the fact that he can't get the Supermax because he was traded is one of the dumbest CBA things I've ever seen. Dumb.
Yeah, but I get it, too, in just the sense of, like, the Supermax is generally rewarding, like, players who have been great from the jump and through all the way. They generally think, like, if you get traded, the thought process behind it is if you get traded, like, that's a reset because you clearly had done, you'd fallen short of being the superstar. Nobody would trade. They didn't factor in the Nico Harrison idea of just nobody would trade a 26-year-old superstar. You had to have done something. Yeah. You had to John Morant your way out of there. Nico, that's not what happened.
Nico broke the rule. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
They're trying to reward, you know, guys staying with teams who drafted them.
Right. And Luka didn't, I mean, he didn't break that trust. He didn't break that.
No, he didn't.
If I was Luka, I'm suing.
But then you can have guys who force their way out and get traded. So now what do we have to do? Do we have to go to court? Do we have to arbitrate this and say Luka wanted to stay versus James Harden?
Yes.
And he doesn't get it?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, okay. Luka needs to take this to court.
I would love to take Nico to court.
Sue. I would sue the hell out of
that'd be fantastic. Also, by the way, he's also, even though he got the new deal signed, he's also $5 million lighter. Because, of course, in his announcement that he was going back to L.A., he also had to announce that I'm donating $5 million to 77 young athletes around the world to chase their dreams. He continues to it's a PR masterclass. I don't know if it's Bill Duffy or whoever it is for Lucas. Somebody in his camp has just geniusly said, hey, no, here's what you need to do. Go pay for the parking your first Lakers game. Pay for everybody's parking so they get free parking.
This whole big media tour that he did last week, going to New York and sitting in a Yankee booth. He didn't do that stuff while here.
No. No,
this Good is, Morning America.
Yeah, this is a totally
whatever it was.
This is a plan that somebody is having him execute, and he's doing it great to this point. So, one of the things I wondered over the weekend was, Jane had talked about they kicked around the idea of trading Micah Parsons 2 years ago. I kind of wonder if this is what they wanted, or at least I think it's worth bringing up. So the Cowboys made things so just irritating for Mike McCarthy that he quit. Now there's a debate to be had about whether that was an intentional thing they did or whether it organically came about that he became frustrated and did it. But I think there's a reasonable case to be made that we don't want to fire you, but we'll make it so there's no way you'd want to come back.
Right.
Which is a tactic that gets used sometimes by companies. And it makes me wonder, we would never be able to weather trading Micah Parsons on our own. We would get destroyed for that. What we need to do is we need to create an environment where he wants out.
Hmm.
And then that can be on him. He can be the one who asks out for it. And when we make the trade, we say, we were willing to do it. We wanted to get something done. He asked out. Like what were we supposed to do? He basically wanted to sever ties with us.
Hmm.
Something that maybe the Mavericks should have done. Like Nico, you should have created an environment where if you were really hell-bent on get rid of him, you should have let Luka make the request and you should have leaned on him a little bit and made him go, I don't want to be here anymore. And that's an easier win than just, well, he asked out, you know, right. And then it's not a blind side.
That's an interesting theory. In McMahon's book, apparently he wrote, the Mavs were so scared of losing Luka that from the day they brought him in, there was not enough for any accountability. Nico and Kidd took over, they didn't challenge that concept either. So they didn't do anything to force him to want to go. Maybe they talked to him about a referee explosion. Maybe they talked to him a little bit about his weight, but nothing that would have him say, I want out of here.
The Lakers already got that done in 4 months.
I mean, think of a relationship that's like just a marriage of sorts, right? Like forget sports for a second. If you have a marriage where one person's like, I don't want to be the one to walk away from this, but I don't want to be here either. We're just going to lay in this toxicity until you decide to go or you tell me to go.
That's and how then, I broke up with my first eight people.
And it's like, I'm not the one responsible for this. The fascinating dynamic about this, though, is the question of why doesn't it seem to be as painful a suggestion as the Luka one was?
Because it was a blindside. We're just sitting there on a Saturday night minding our own business, watching whatever the hell was on.
But do you think it's only that?
No, I also think that, you know, Luka's more important than Mike is. Luka, an individual NBA player is more important than any non-quarterback.
Do you think that just in a vacuum, Luka is more loved as a person and player?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, there's something to that. Also, again, though, what impact does...
Because there are plenty of people who don't like Micah Parsons. Because of the podcast stuff.
Sure, there's
and,
that.
You know,
yeah.
Playoff performances and all that.
Yeah, Luka's been better, right? I mean,
Luka's gotten him further, yeah.
He's taken him further. He's been here longer. A couple years, 3 years longer. He was the replacement to Dirk. It was just going to seamlessly go into the next one.
Yep.
It's the impact that you can have. I mean, you could be a defensive end in the NFL or an edge rusher, whatever you want to call it. And it'd be great and not have a 15th of the impact of a superstar NBA player just because of the way the game is.
My Luka connection and question was, this is so public now versus Luka in secrecy, right? The Mavs argument was it would have screwed up negotiations and offers. So let's compare those two. Now, we don't know if anyone has called and made an offer, but How will the Cowboys' tactic of this being public now and the Micah story work versus the Luka tactic where the Mavericks told us why Nico only dealt with his buddy, Rob Pelinka?
Yeah.
That's what I'm curious to see. Is this really going to limit the offers now that it's gotten to this point? I don't think so.
No, it'll set off a fervor. People are going to call who go, oh, you might actually trade. Well, I got to call and put an offer in. Like, and that was the thing.
But the other thing the Mavs added was if Luka knew he was on the block, he could destroy some offers. He could kill some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be bad for the organization, right?
Right. And the pushback against that from a lot of people is you got a deal that seemed like Luka had destroyed it. Like that's the deal you ended up with anyway, was one that was like, okay, this was a massively lopsided trade that nobody thought you should be able to do. I mean, so that was a difference right there. I think another problem here, not a problem, just a difference here. I think Micah has embraced the Cowboys. I don't know that Micah has embraced Dallas, if that makes sense. Like, Luka embraced this as this is, like, he was first time in America. This was his American home, was Dallas. And he's obviously so passionate about Slovenia and being a you know, a guy from Slovenia and that identity that he has from that. That similarly, I think when he got to the U.S., it's like, this is home. This is all I've ever known as an American. Like, here in an American home, somebody who's come and lived here is Dallas. And he was, you know, he was somebody who would go around some of the different spots around Dallas and was somebody who enjoyed being here and talked up how much he loved the city of Dallas. I think Micah would say he likes Dallas. I don't think that that's any sort of an issue. I just think it's his identity comes from Cowboys, not Dallas. There was so much of it for Luka that felt like it was about Dallas.
877-881-1053 to weigh in on the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line. What do you think about private Luka negotiation in return versus this being so public and what could be offered and whether it makes a difference?
I mean, the private from the trade perspective?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes a lot of difference because we didn't even have a chance to process it.
No, I'm just saying if they would have announced he's on the block.
They would have been such a revolt, they never would have done it. It would have been like this is Vol Twitter all over again. When they said, "Hey, we're going to hire Greg Schiano," it was like, "The hell you are!"
But they
you know, it's going to be the same thing, and the fans would have revolted to a point where Nico wouldn't even have dared to do it.
True, I agree, but they so clearly underestimated how the fans were going to react to it that I don't think they knew the flow that that's what would have happened.
Right,
but like they didn't do that because it's like, well, we'll get the pushback. We need to just pull the trigger. I just don't think they had any clue that people were going to be that against it.
And Diana Rossini, who kind of I give credit to breaking all of this Friday, said, when Parsons' agent pushed back and attempted to negotiate further, the Cowboys declined to engage with him and told the pass rusher to honor the agreement he had made. The Cowboys front office basically said, no take backs.
Yeah, and a lot of the fan text right now is waiting and saying the biggest difference is Mike is still here. It's not real yet. As soon as it's real, people will be upset. I don't know. I don't think it'll be the same.
It won't be to that degree. What happened is, in my opinion, Jerry Jones' feelings are hurt. He feels betrayed by Micah's word or agreement in the negotiation. And this is his punishment.
Yeah.
Like, when I hear Jerry speak, if I'm Micah and David Mulugeta, I don't worry one bit. He can sound the only things he can throw at Micah Parsons are shots verbally and a franchise tag. You're gonna tag him one time. Now we can get the number for the second time, but you want me to be a cancer and a toxic poison for two more years here? Because that's our play. Go ahead, tag me.
Yeah,
I'll destroy the locker room.
And then
you thought my podcast was good then? Like, because Jerry can't have that happen.
No, but then everybody will want him out. Oh, and then Jerry wins for trading him. Oh, you were a cancer. You'd become just so toxic. It may have been Jerry's fault in the first place, but you just handled it so poorly.
We are also your home of the Rangers. They barely avoid getting swept in Seattle. How did the new guys look that Chris Young acquired? Choppy has it in Diamond Cavs. Then Nick Eatman from Oxnard next.